From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in Washington, D.C., 1991. It was the end of the war in the Persian Gulf, and the George H.W. Bush administration decided to mark the occasion with a military parade. More than 8,000 troops marched down Washington's Constitution Avenue, according to the Smithsonian. Stealth fighter planes passed overhead. Tanks rolled by a crowd of nearly a quarter million people. That event cost an estimated $12 million, and it was expected at the time to draw around a million people. The attendance did surge that evening when a grand fireworks display attracted nearly 800,000 people. And that marked the last time the United States has held that kind of a military parade. The Smithsonian reports that veterans had mixed feelings in 1991, with some complaining that they felt used as political props. But Vietnam War veteran Paul Barton had a different feeling, saying that when he returned from Vietnam, people wouldn't even talk to him. He felt disrespected, and he was happy to see a very different kind of reception for men and women returning from the Persian Gulf. Well, President Trump is bringing back the military parade. NPR confirming this weekend that the parade has been approved for Veterans Day and is intended to honor those who served in the military from everything from the Revolutionary War through today, a celebration of military service and sacrifice. The White House has agreed to Washington City Council's demand for no tanks because tanks can cause road damage. NPR reports that President Trump loved seeing France's Bastille Day celebrations when he recently visited. He's been pushing for a big American show ever since. Do you support it? This hour, our panel consists of veterans with varying viewpoints on the subject. In studio, we have Todd Baxter, who, of course, is Monroe County Sheriff and 22 years of service with the U.S. Army, as well as the former executive director of the Veterans Outreach Center in Rochester. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Honored to have Gary Bykirk here, Medal of Honor. Well, honored to have all of you. And I will say, my father, who is a veteran, taught me to always say thank you for your service. So I'm going to say thank you to all of you for your service. Honored to have Gary Bykirk, who's a Medal of Honor recipient for his actions in the Vietnam War. Gary, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Dominic Anise is here, U.S. Army veteran of the Vietnam War, 1967 and 68 in, I'm sorry, 68 and 69. I did this before the hour began. Dominic, when were you there?
67, 68.
Great to have you. Thank you for being here. And also here with us in studio is Matt Barnes, who is a Fairport Police Sergeant and a veteran of the U.S. Army. And Sergeant, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it, Evan. Thanks for having us.
All right. So the NPR reporting that the memo from the White House says the parade will begin at the White House and proceed to the U.S. Capitol with a heavy air component at the end of it. It notes that President Trump will be surrounded by military heroes in the reviewing area at the Capitol when this happens in November. I want to just kind of go around the table and first just take a little bit of a temperature. And Sergeant Barnes, we'll just start with you and go around the table. What do you think?
You would have to start with me. Huh?
I got
to
start with somebody.
That sounds good. I guess, what do I think on the whole military parade concept?
Are you happy to see it?
You know, when Sheriff Baxter and I talked about this coming on the show, I really didn't have, I guess, one way or another. I wasn't feeling strong about one way or another. I think most veterans, you know, are proud of their service, obviously, but they try to stay out of politics. So if it's a non-political thing, which I would like to see it be, but obviously it's a little too late for that. But if it's showcasing veterans, I'm all for that. I'll end with that and pass it on to my counterparts here, my cohorts.
Okay.
We'll go from there.
All right, Dominic, what do you think?
Evan, I, from the moment it was announced, I've kind of been against it. First off, I just sense that it is political. I think that if we want to honor our veterans, and again, I think a lot of us who served, I want to be quiet about that. I like to be quiet about my service and keep it to myself. But I do think that it is the wrong approach, and I think it sends a wrong message at this point in time.
Dominic, I got a note, and I should say to our listeners, we reached out to veterans from a lot of different backgrounds. It happens to be all men on this panel, but we reached out to a number of women who just didn't happen to be available this hour. But here's a note from Krista, who says, as a nurse, a mom, a combat veteran, sister of a Green Beret, and a wife of a cop and a veteran, we brag by doing our jobs and serving others. We don't need a parade. Quiet professionals as a special forces ethos. More should follow it. Is that kind of what you're saying about kind
exactly.
of doing it quietly?
Exactly. It's tough when I'm sitting next to a Medal of Honor recipient because I honor the service that those guys have provided. But I still do not feel that this is – I'm against the parade.
Okay. We'll talk more about that. Gary, how do you feel about it?
Well, as a Special Forces soldier, I can identify with what the Krista, lady had, Krista had said as being quiet professionals. I've always felt that way, too. But I also come from that Vietnam era where we came back and quiet would have been nice. It would have been nice to be quiet.
It wasn't quiet at the time, was it?
It was not quiet. And like many that came back from that time, I had received not so much a welcome home at all. Since that time, I've been encouraged to see the way that the veterans and those who've returned from Iraq, Afghanistan, Desert Storm, the Gulf War, the way that this country has welcomed them back and treated them. And that has really given me a tremendous feeling of forgiveness, of respect, of gratitude, and a sense of pride for the service. It's hard to remain quiet when so many others are not quiet and outright disrespectful. I just finished reading The 12 Strong, the book about the Green Berets that went in and liberated Afghanistan, particularly Mazar-e-Sharif. And they were talking about the reception they got when they came into that city. And people were, just 12 of them, and these people were cheering and just running up just to be able to touch them. And as I read that, I identified with them, and I thought about what it must have felt like for them to be able to receive that. And so for me, to be able to have something that is done with taste for the veterans, I'm all for it. If it can be done with taste, and as Matt said, it's too late to keep the politics out of it, but many times those of us who fought for all these years to gain some recognition have realized you got to swallow politics and take it and just hope for the best. So I'm excited to see it happen, and I look forward to being able to see the results that it might have on this country.
Okay. Sheriff Baxter.
Well, thanks. It's definitely hard to follow Gary and his passion. You know, we're worried about politics. We're worried about the disruption. I think it's a great idea to do it on Veterans Day for that very reason. I also, as a taxpayer, you know, I have concerns about price. And we can talk more about that. There's many things we do for morale and welfare and building of esprit de corps in the military that could be assist with the funding and even private funding. But, you know, unlike Dominic and Gary with the opportunities that they didn't have during the draft era, you know, this is all volunteer force. And if we don't show honor and homage and respect to the people that volunteer to serve our country, and this is just another way to demonstrate that, you know, and we do it many, many ways in the military still to this day with the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds and Fleet Week. You know, I think from that point, it's a great idea to show that this is a united front, that these are our freedom providers and that we respect them that much. And I don't see it as an every year occurrence, maybe every 5 years or something like that, just as an option to celebrate those people that are willing to give it all for our freedom and let us live. And we've been doing parades for a million, you know, since we've been born as a country and well before that for many reasons, and just another good reason to do it. And we don't want to make it a total military show with, you know, the tanks. I think that's a great idea. Keep the M1 Abrams off of Pennsylvania Avenue. But there's a lot of ways to show that respect for these people that volunteer or the people that didn't have the opportunity to volunteer to serve a country.
Would you want to see them raise the money privately to fund it, in other words, then?
I think there's lots of opportunities to raise money. So I think a lot of people would be very interested in donating money to this. We don't money for so many great causes, and you know, you look at the USOs and everything else that go around, and it's all about esprit de corps and taking care of those people that are serving our country. There's also, you know, we all in our businesses deal with budget lines and funding, and I'm sure if we dig down in those DOD budgets, there's lots of money there for morale and welfare, and maybe that could be redistributed also in this direction once every 5 years or something like that to show a different twist on respect for those guys and gals that are willing to serve our country.
Dominic, you wanted to jump in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if the parade were formatted around a fact that perhaps you had military there, but also they're not the only people that serve in this. The police officers serve, firemen serve, EMTs serve, doctors serve. So if we're going to do something, let's celebrate our entire community instead of just one segment of it. I've always felt that it's a separation issue when we do it for just one segment, just for the military. So if we're going to have a parade, then have everyone involved in the parade.
Okay. Well, let's listen to on the subject of what.
Can I say one thing?
Oh, yeah,
I just
want to
say that.
Yeah.
There are three things that scare me. Parades. So I have to let you know my heart. I don't like parades, clowns, and brunch.
Brunch.
So I just want you to know those are the three things that really.
You're in the wrong room.
I got the feeling.
That is not what I expected this conversation to turn to.
Sorry.
But I do want to just briefly, because we've had some questions that came in this morning on the subject of how much will this cost, and NPR saying that their estimates are from $3 to $50 million. Here is Democratic Representative Barbara Lee from California. She was part of a panel that was questioning White House Budget Director Mike Mulvaney. Here is Lee pointedly asking about this parade along with the cost, and we'll listen to that interchange now.
Secondly, I want to ask you about this military parade that the president's proposing. You know, the parade that is very similar to those held in authoritarian countries like in North Korea. How much is that parade going to cost, and where is that money coming from?
Thank you, Congresswoman. I'll answer the second question first. We actually have military parades in this country before. I think we had one recently, as recently as the 1990s, or maybe more recently than that. I've seen various different cost estimates from between, I think, $10 million and $30 million, depending on the size of the parade, the scope of it, the length of it, those types of things.
Okay, so he's saying 10 to 30 million, but we've heard other estimates as low as 3, as high as 50. So millions of dollars, and I think I take the point pretty well from Sheriff Baxter that maybe that money could be raised privately. We will see. What I want to ask, and I guess I'll start with Dominic, who's the most anti-parade person on this panel, is do you agree with the Congresswoman when she compared it to authoritarian countries? In other words, this display looks bad to her. Does it to you?
The moment they began talking about it, I felt that. I see those.
You do?
Yes, I do. The moment by the way, I am not a Trump supporter, so I mean.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
So I'm not a Trump supporter. When he spoke, I got that vision in my head. I got the vision of goose steps and the North Koreans marching. And so that's kind of why I get, that was my first reaction.
Okay. Sergeant Barnes, when you hear the congresswoman invoking authoritarian regimes, is she on target or you think she's missing the point?
So, Evan, the first thing that came to mind when I heard the representative from California speak was, I guess I wanted to ask you, is she a veteran? And I got the laughter, so the joke went over. So I'll continue on with that. The other thing, let's not forget parades. I think Sheriff Baxter touched on this in a very microcosmic, I guess, level. Been happening for years in each small town across America, right? And the parades aren't just about the military. It's not about the veterans. Maybe it's about the people. I mean, after all, the military is the people, right? It's the people's military. It's not the veterans' military. It's not the president's military. It's our military, collectively. And their tax dollars pay for it. The sheriff also mentioned esprit de corps. I think esprit de corps is a great thing. Maybe not just for a collective unit in the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force, but as a nation as whole. You know, we forget about that esprit de corps and taking pride in our nation. You know, maybe some people on the outside. You know, when I say outside, non-military personnel, American citizens, maybe they take pride in their military, and maybe they want to see what's on display. I'm just offering a different point of view. I'm not saying I'm for or against the parade. I'm merely offering an outsider's point of view. You know, maybe that 13-year-old boy who's never seen an MRAP coming down Pennsylvania Avenue, maybe that's kind of cool to him. You know, I know we're not going to have A1 Abrams tanks rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue. I get that. But if you look back in history, after World War II, 1945, I think the 82nd Airborne rolled Sherman tanks down New York City, down the streets. They rolled the tanks down the streets. I know there's some infrastructure damage. I get all that. You know, I think the president spoke of a huge air component of this parade. So, in other words, the American people need to be thought of, too. Maybe they want to see what they're paying for and what they take pride in. So it's just a different outsider's view, non-veteran view. You know, let's think of everyone here. We're all American citizens.
Yeah. Gary?
There are not too many things that can bring tears to my eyes anymore, except maybe something with my grandchildren or something like the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. When I think of the parade, I don't think of goose-stepping and shows of military force. I think of something that's more respectful. I think it's something that is existing in the military, and that is, you know, respect for one another. There's a protocol. There's a way of behaving and treatment of values that this country was founded upon and that exist in many, many people in this country. And when I think of the parade, I think of that as an opportunity for those values, that sacrifice and the love that each of the men and women who are marching have, and to watch something like the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, or if you've ever attended a military tattoo where they have military bands and they have silent drill teams that are just doing things with such precision and expertise. There's a sense of professionalism there. It's not militaristic and it's not dictatorial. It's an exhibition of a love for your country and what you are willing to do to sacrifice and show that love for the country. So that's what I think of when I think of the parade.
All right, and Sheriff Baxter, as someone who's open to this parade taking place, I'm going to assume that you're less of a fan of authoritarian displays, but maybe you see a difference that the Congresswoman didn't see. For those who maybe don't see the difference, how would you sort of try to elucidate for them how you do see a difference between what happens in the North Koreas of the world and this kind of a display?
Well, we think about V-Day and J-Day and back in World War II and ticker tape parades. And, you know, just we're fighting the longest war in American history. And there will be no victory day just because of the nature of the war. There will be no conquering and celebration. And these guys and gals have been fighting for 15, 16 years now, and their families have been sacrificing. And so that's how I envision. I envision the kids coming out, and that's why mom's been gone and deployed so many times. I understand the esprit de corps. I understand the camaraderie. I understand that all these people are volunteering and sacrificing so much, including their kids. So I see it as the ticker tape parade. I see it as because we won't have that opportunity in this current war by any means.
And maybe won't again with the nature of the way war has changed.
Mm. Absolutely. It may very well, but we need to celebrate the people like Sergeant Barnstein. We need to celebrate the people that are willing to do that. And we need to celebrate the families, and we need to celebrate the taxpayers that are willing to foot the bill for these militaries and our way of life. So I look at it as a celebration. I can definitely understand in our political climate the militarism look and the Trump factor. I mean, let's throw it right out there. If this was another president, it might have gone over much better, you know, but the fact is we got that kickback. And the last thing anybody at this table I can guarantee wants is turn our military into a political pawn. And I would never tolerate that or stand for it. And this will be done with respect or won't have my support. But think about that. That's how I see it, as the ticker tape parade for our current generation that's been fighting the longest war, served by the least number of people to serve our country.
I want to grab our first phone call. We've got a lot of feedback from our listeners to share with us as we discuss the possibility, and it looks like it's not a possibility anymore, that there will be a military parade for the first time since 1991. It will happen on Veterans Day in Washington, D.C., and as we said, NPR reporting that the parade will begin at the White House, proceed to the U.S. Capitol with a heavy air component at the end, and President Trump will be surrounded by military heroes in the reviewing area at the Capitol. This is John in Webster. Go ahead, John.
First, I thank the veterans for the service. I support the veterans. I support the parade. But I just, man, oh, man, I can't imagine Trump being surrounded by war heroes. I think the reviewing stand should be the president and perhaps his cabinet or members from the House and Senate. But I do not think he should be surrounded by war heroes. It's almost criminal in my mind, but I know it really isn't. I just think it's absolutely political. Thank you, Evan, for this show. Thank you very much.
John, thank you. Before I let our guests respond to that, let me just read a couple of comments, both from listeners named David, both who are veterans, different Davids. David says, Evan, we need this parade. Too many Americans don't properly respect our own power in the world anymore. It is time to get back to being a true superpower with respect for our might from all citizens. That is from David. A different David sent a rather longer email saying that as a conservative, he feels that he doesn't want to get used. And if the president wasn't there on the scene soaking it up, that maybe it would be different. But the second David writes to say that this president makes everything about himself and that this parade is actually about the president, not about the military. And it becomes a vehicle to support a person in the White House who, by the way, didn't serve, as opposed to the people who are ostensibly being honored. So two very different Davids. You heard John's point of view. I'll start with the sheriff. We'll go back around the table there. How do you feel about the idea that, you know, the president's going to be there surrounded by military heroes in the reviewing area at the Capitol, and that for some it becomes about President Trump and not about the actual military.
Again, I'll go back to the Trump factor. I understand the contention in our American society right now. We're split 50-50 almost, or, you know, depending on who's talking. And that is a bone of contention, and we got to take that into reality. But the president, per our Constitution, is the commander-in-chief, and the commander-in-chief needs to be there. I kind of like the ideas of having a discussion of who's up there with him, but he is the commander-in-chief, and he's an elected official in that position, and this is a military parade. I think it's appropriate that he's there. If he's going to grandstand or be grandiose with our military, I think that's going to be a backlash that he would lose, I guess, at what we consider his base, you know, the conservative side of the House. I think they would kick back in about 2 seconds if they see their boys and girls being used as a political pawn, so... it's a gamble he may be taking, but I don't think he's he is the commander-in-chief. I'll just leave it at that. And if we're going to do a military review, he should be there.
Would it be wise, Sheriff, for the president to reach out to Democrats who are also veterans to say, I want you in that viewing area with me to show it's bipartisan, that this isn't just about one person?
100%. Yeah, exactly. This is, you know, the Senate, the Assembly, the Congress, you know, the Joint Staff, they all should be there, you know, and pay our proper respect and our homage to these folks that are volunteering and the folks that didn't have a chance to volunteer that were drafted to serve our country and to the families that have sacrificed so much over the last 15, 16 years, including the ultimate sacrifice. This is about respect. This is about esprit de corps. This is about, and, you know, even projection of power. I kind of disagree with Dave. I don't see this as a projection of power. We could do that all day long. I mean, that's what the military is, a projection of power. When we send aircraft and fleets, you know, into the Mediterranean, we're projecting that power. This is about respect. This is about thanks. This is about that sense of pride. And like I said, you know, we don't want to go back to a draft. We need young men and women to step up to the plate. It's about that whole, you know, someday I want to be part of that. I remember seeing the Blue Angels out at the Rochester Airport, and that's what got me thinking about the military, although I joined the Army, and I'm grateful for doing that. The fact is the Blue Angels probably got me hooked in thinking about a military career.
Gary Bykirk, the second David emailed to say that he is a conservative, he is a veteran, and he feels like this is a vehicle for veterans to get used. Are you worried about getting used here for politics?
As a Vietnam veteran,
you're used to that. Huh?
Yeah, we're used to getting used, and so and I think that through the years, many of us have been able to discern the difference and to tell when that is starting to happen. And I would hope that that this would not be the case with President Trump. Coming from the military, one thing that was always instilled in me was a chain of command. And the president is at the top, so he should be there. Regardless of who's in office, there's a certain amount of respect and decorum and a way to treat that person who's in that position, regardless of your feelings about that person. And so I would be shocked if President Trump did anything in any way to say this is about me and not about you. I know individuals who have been with him in military in the past, and he's always been very respectful and honoring of them and their service, not to draw attention to himself. So if something like that were to be happen, I would be tremendously shocked.
I only push back mildly here because just a couple of weeks ago, when the president visited one of the shooting victims who survived Parkland in a hospital, he said to the girl, I hear you're a big fan of me. It's the first thing he said. He made it about him. Mm. And that's a shooting victim. Yeah. So I guess you see it, though, as from your experience, what you've heard about this president, he is not going to make a misstep and direct the attention on himself in this case.
I would hope not.
Okay. Dominic?
First off, I will remind everyone of his treatment of John McCain during the campaign, the things that he said about John McCain, which I still find offensive. The other thing that I want to say is that I flip the script and say, wouldn't it be something if the president said, I'm going to visit this town in New York or this town in Nebraska where there's a parade, and I'm going to go to the parade and change the whole dynamic coming down? Because my attitude is that the president is a servant. The best leaders are servants. And I will remind everyone, this man is a showman, and it is about him. He's always been a showman. His name is on all of his buildings. and I don't think it will change. He will be the center of this day, in my opinion.
He's got John Kelly. He's got Mattis. He's got many people around him who are probably going to speak very extensively with him before that day, don't you think, Dominic?
I would hope so. I would hope that's the other thing. You know, this president has surrounded himself with a lot of military people.
A lot of generals.
Correct. And it would be wonderful if he did invite the opposition, the Democrats, other people to the stand. We'll see.
But your suspicion and fear is that this will still be about him.
That is my suspicion and fear. And again, remember, I am very prejudiced and biased, I would say, regarding this president.
Okay. Sergeant Barnes.
The only thing that comes to mind as I hear the panel speak is, numerous sports teams are invited to the White House over the years. And what a great opportunity for the athletes to meet the Commander-in-Chief, our president. Well, if you look upon that as the same as the veterans, what an opportunity for certain veterans to meet our Commander-in-Chief that they may not otherwise have had. And that's all I want to point out. And it's not about being for Trump or being against Trump, not about being a Democrat, it's not about being a Republican. It's about being an American. You know, that's what I initially opened this panel with. I hope it didn't become political. Obviously, we're a little too late on that. But as far as the military parade happens around the United States, I keep going back to that on a very microcosmic level. I don't see it that it's a bad thing if done correctly.
Okay. And I take Sergeant Barnes' point that the goal would be to remove politics if you could from this. I also take Gary's wise point that he has seen for decades enough that you may have to live with politics to some degree, whether you want to or not. But before the hour is out, we're going to have more of an opportunity to hear from our guests on whether they think the American public and kids are being raised with respect as they would like to see it for the military and what that means, what that looks like. That means different things to different people, and that is part of this. That shouldn't be or is not necessarily political. So I take Sergeant Barnes' point of that. But we're loaded on the phones, so I'm going to go to Hilton. This is Joan next. Go ahead, Joan.
Yes, hi. I guess the word military parade to me just rubs me the wrong way. It would be much more palatable, I believe, if they just called it a Veterans Day parade. Again, military just sounds like, like North Korea or nations like that instead of just a Veterans Day parade, and they can do all they want. So I don't know why it bothers me, but it does.
All right, Joan, thank you. So I think that's just reflecting some of the other points. I mean, Sheriff, anything you want to add for Joan to consider there?
No, I understand her perception and the words. I like the idea, and I actually wrote a note today before I found out this was going to be on Veterans Day, that it should be on Veterans Day, so we're not disrupting, you know, the American populace another day, and we're not
and
taking
here we
away.
Are.
Yeah, so great idea. But the folks that are going to be in this parade, they are in the military. You know, the rest of us sitting around this table are the veterans that served our country in the military. So the people that will be driving the Humvees down the street and marching in the parades are the current generation that are in the military.
Bob and Menden next. Let's go to Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. Everything Trump has ever done about himself. With all due respect, anyone who believes that this isn't the same, I think, is not thinking about this correctly. It is the absolute status for him. And I'm all for the parade. I just don't think it's for the right reason.
Hey, Bob, can I just ask a quick question then?
Yes.
Let's work off the point. And I don't mean to be cynical. I mean to be realistic. I like realism more than cynicism. But I think realistically, a lot of political leaders on both major American political parties look to do things that boost themselves. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, that there are all kinds of opportunities to boost your own brand or your own power or your own influence. So that is not new. This may be a president in some feel, and Dominic feels, among others, that is particularly suited to self-promotion. But again, is there anything, Bob, around this president, the generals around him, the people who are going to have his ear before November, I mean, we got 8 months before this happens, that you would think will convince him or the people creating this parade that you cannot make this about you or about propaganda? That this is about respecting service, honoring service and sacrifice, and that will carry the day. You don't have any hope that could happen over the next 8 months? Oh, Bob, are we there? Did we lose Bob? Oh, boy. Bob, I'm sorry we lost your call. I, I'll turn it to Dominic, since Dominic and Bob feel roughly the same here. Anything over the next 8 months that could change your mind on this?
I'm open. I would hope so. I would hope that there would, I would love to see a change in the way this president reacts and speaks. But that would be my hope. But I, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe it to be true.
I got a long, we got a long email from John White, who is someone who's been on this program several times. In fact, when we had a live program at the Little Theater regarding the Vietnam War, John was there, speaks so eloquently about his own service. And in fact, you got to beg John to talk about what he's like. So many veterans we know, people like Gary, people like John, who have been, as John said, stitched up at the field of battle. But you got to beg him to talk about it, because they are not ostentatious. And John has helped put together memorial efforts for so many other families, Gold Star families. So we appreciate the email from John. Here's what he had to say about this. He says, I think this whole thing is a waste of time, money, and energy. I will go so far as to say this is galactic stupidity. Our troops have far more important things to do than to be showmen and women in period uniforms. It has been my experience in life that those who show off, talk the loudest, and demand attention are some of the most insecure and least confident individuals I have known. I am directing this comment to President Trump for ordering this event to occur. The great majority of military personnel are proud, confident, well-trained professionals who do not want to be reduced to a demeaning vaudeville act. And he says, it has also been my experience that nations, mostly communist nations, who conduct these types of parades do so to support their propaganda of encouraging loyalty from their citizenry and creating fear in the hearts of their enemies. If in the hearts and minds of their leaders they knew that they were the most powerful nation in the world, they wouldn't waste their time and resources on such folly. United States citizens already know that we are the most powerful nation in the world with unequaled military strength. So that's John. He says, let me know if there's any confusion in my opinions with the wink. John's got some very strong views, and I want to just get some reaction there, because I know, Sheriff Baxter, you're not a full-throated we must do this parade person, but you see the value. John doesn't. What would you say to John if he were here at the table?
I'm still confused. Where did he stand?
Can you tell?
Well, John's a person I have a lot of respect for, a Silver Star recipient, a man who just gleams respect when he walks into a room, especially from the veterans community. So, and there's America right there. I mean, he's 100% entitled to that opinion. He's 100% and say it as eloquently as always does. You know, he's a person that speaks the truth as he believes and sees it. So that's America. You know, the president is already, if you will, commenced the parade. It's going to occur. And I love the fact that people can have discourse on it and disagree with it. And I think everybody, John, very eloquently, and everybody sitting at this table says, God forbid if we make this into a political thing. And it's going to become political, because I think the Trump factor is there, and there's not much we could do about it. And but he is the commander-in-chief. He's ordered the parade. Let's see what we can do to make this an honorable, professional, respectful if you will, thing that we can all celebrate. And that's to celebrate, like Matt said earlier, celebrate the people inside the uniform and the families that are sitting home wondering when mom's going to come back from Afghanistan, and the people that came before us. And let's show respect for the people that want. I have an 18-year-old or 19-year-old that is putting on the ROTC uniform, hoping to be an officer in the United States Army. And I want him to see, I want to take him down there and show him the respect that people have for his sacrifice and the sacrifice his mother and his father are putting forward to our country's freedom. So hopefully we can make this an honorable, respectful thing and not a show.
Gary, when John says he's concerned that using period uniforms would make it a vaudeville act, I'm curious to know if you think that there's a different view of this here, that there is a value in seeing, you know, our own history, which obviously, I think that's part of what the president, or at least the organizer's goal is, to use period uniforms. John doesn't like it. What do you think about that?
Well, like Todd, I know John very well. Mm-hmm. Have worked with him on the Gold Star Family Memorial and a number of other projects. But I would disagree with him on the fact that he says all Americans know how great our country is. I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of speaking at colleges, at schools, elementary all the way up through high school. And I'm amazed at the lack of knowledge that kids have regarding this country, our heritage, the legacy that we have as a nation, the impact that the founding fathers have had on this country. and the lack of knowledge that many of them have, even regarding certain values that I believe are foundational to our existence as a nation.
What's an example?
The Medal of Honor Society has a program called the Character Development Program, where we, and it's implemented in 40 different states across the country. And we've prepared this curriculum with teachers to highlight values associated, represented by the Medal of Honor, such as courage, citizenship, sacrifice, integrity, patriotism. And each of those lessons highlights one of those values that are so important to our nation and so important for our citizens to understand and to hold on as dear as they can to it. And many times we as recipients would go into the classrooms and actually interact with the students and the teachers as we were trying to communicate with these young people the importance of what these values mean to their life and to our existence as a nation and to the heritage that we have as a country. And I, along with being amazed at how these kids respond and they say, wow, I never thought about that, I'm equally as amazed as to how much lack of knowledge they had about these values and how they interacted with their life and how these values play an important part in the hearts and the minds of those who serve our country. So I would disagree with John that all Americans know. My experience has been is that all Americans don't know.
Okay. We've got a lot of emails and phone calls to work through, so let me just hang in there with me as we continue through the line here. This is James in Rochester, I think, next. Is that you, James? Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't agree with either Todd or Gary. I love and respect them. They are great examples of what Americans should be. But you cannot separate the politics out of this. This is a president who failed to serve because of bone spurs. This is a president who have imitated contributing to the veterans and complimenting who we are. He uses us as props constantly. As a service member who served five combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, who myself am a highly decorated veteran, not as high as Gary, but this is a mistake. This is an error. This is a sign of weakness. This is a sign of, this is propaganda. I absolutely, if this president wants to make a difference, he should travel to the many veterans parades that are happening throughout the United States and visit one of the small towns and see the love that the country have for the veterans, especially after 9/11.
Hey, James, so, James, can I just follow up with one point here?
Yes.
I take the point that you want to see the president not just hold a parade, but to do more to support veterans, to support their health care, et cetera. I just got an email from a listener named Ted who says, President Trump is the first president in many years who knows how to properly support the troops, and he is going to be an example for the nation on how to get back to doing that. What would you say to Ted?
Ted is absolutely wrong. Having a parade is not supporting troops. Giving health care, not cutting our retirement, giving us the benefits that we have earned through our service is supporting our troops. So on one hand, he's claiming that he's supporting the troops. At the next hand, look at what Congress is doing to veteran benefits, to veteran health care, and look at the service members who served in 9/11, the police and firemen. Look at what's happening to them. So we have to step away from the showmanship, step away from the propaganda, and look at what's actually happening on the ground. This is a president who has claimed to support the veterans, who have not. He uses us for props. We make him feel good when he's around. We're toys to him.
All right. James, I certainly can feel the passion. I appreciate the phone call. I want to thank you very much. He's bringing up health care and support. And I wonder, Rob, if we could go to line 8. That's Jim in Fairport, who had a similar point before we let our listeners, our panel, I should say, respond to James, because I think Jim wanted to jump in with a similar point on money being used to help veterans here. Go ahead, Jim.
Evan, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
I agree with everything the previous caller just said. And beyond that, I'll state it in shorter and more crass terms. This is a draft-dodging president who doesn't know anything about the country's history or the military or honor, misusing funds and misusing the military, and all of that that could be used directly to help veterans instead of being a faux dictator with all that bluster.
All right, so there's two points. Jim, thank you. I appreciate that. There's two points that I want to ask our panel about. A number of our listeners, and we'll go around the table and ask Sergeant Barnes this, because I think this is a brief one here. A number of our listeners are invoking the president's own history of service or lack of service, and a number of veterans are writing in saying that they find some offense with that and that they don't think that this should be the man to be planning a military parade given his own background with avoiding military service. Do you take any offense to his own choices that he made?
So I think most veterans, if you went around and asked them, and I believe Sheriff touched on a little while ago, it's a system we work under. You know, it's our constitutional system. He is the commander-in-chief, whether he served or not. The last president didn't serve or not, or did not serve. People still listen to his commands. I think if you ask veterans, they're going to listen to orders. That's what we do. So there again, if from the start of this, I've tried to stay out of the politics of it. Yeah. I don't say I'm for Trump or against Trump. I'm for the military, obviously. And I'm also for, you know, descending points of view, if you want to take it.
Sure.
That's what makes America great. That's why we strive as a nation. So I'm not against people calling in saying they're for it or if they're against it. I think that's great. I think opposing views are good.
Okay.
I think that's what meshes and keeps us stable.
All right. Well, Ted, one of our listeners, Dominic, wants you to know that this president is going to teach people like you how to properly support the troops again. I joke because I know you've had the strongest views against this, but I've got plenty of listeners like Ted emailing the program saying, look, don't discount the views of veterans who are very excited about this, who feel moved by this, who feel like the gentleman the Smithsonian quoted, saying, look at the difference from Vietnam to now, coming home and being spit on, and now being honored in a parade. There is a lot of that sentiment out there, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. I do want to ask you about some of the feedback I'm getting from people who are offended, about the president's lack of service. Does that matter to you? Does that matter in this at all?
The president's lack of service.
Yeah, bone spur. I mean, that's decades ago. Does it matter?
It does not. His lack of service, his personal lack of service, doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
The way he talked about people like John McCain, that is where I draw the line, because I understand that Barack Obama was also, you know, not a veteran, and many, you know, are not veterans. So that isn't the difference there for
okay.
me.
Sure.
I will say this, that there are many of us who are veterans who are silent, who are against the war. I was an activist after the war, against the war. I counseled people in college on being conscientious objectors. So there are many of us who have always been silent and feel pressured about this patriotism and worry about this patriotism. And by the way, my degree is in history, so I spent a lot of time looking back and understanding where we came from and where we have been as a nation. And so there is a lot of false patriotism that drives me out of my mind.
What is false patriotism?
I don't know. But I feel it when I feel it. It is this, my country, right or wrong, or whatever the way that I've always, this is the way I hear it. I'm not saying that it is what, it's the way I hear it.
Are you saying patriotism is we cannot criticize our own country, that we are sort of, you know?
And that the military is sacrosanct, and that the military is, no matter what the military does, you know, they get a pass, you know, that kind of thing. And that, by the way, there are people, I think, who are conscientious objectors who may be more patriotic than some men than myself, who was drafted and who didn't have the guts to say, I'm not going. I really feel that way. And I feel there's a patriotism in dissent that people have. I do feel, and that's what's the beauty, as you said, of this country, the ability to be a dissenter.
Sheriff Baxter, are conscientious objectors, can they be patriotic?
I think by definition they are, you know, and you got to stand for the repercussions and what that's going to cause to your life, and if it's a violation of the law, you got to stand for that too. You know, I as you were speaking, Dominic, I was thinking of General John Batiste, you know, two-star general, led a division in Iraq. He probably put his military career to an end by being outspoken about his opinion of what was occurring, although he led troops and did his job and swore his allegiance and followed through on that. You know, he probably didn't have a very successful career after that moment because he came back as a patriot and decided to speak his mind. And so there are people. We're not robots inside that uniform by any means. We are the freedom providers, and some of the freedoms we take for so we cherish so much, we're willing to give our life for it. You know, that Constitution and that Bill of Rights of people. You know, I get it all the time, especially as a law enforcement. What are you going to do about these war protesters? I'm like, what am I going to do? Cordon off the area, let them protest. I mean, that's their right. That's their God-given right. And my friends and your friends and people have provided that right well before we got here. I just want to take a half a step back. You know, we've talked about, you know, Vietnam till today. As I ran the Veterans Outreach Center, I was always afraid of what happened between 1945 and 1970.
That's fair.
You know,
yeah, that's fair.
Where we're having ticker tape parades and you know, the pictures of the nurse kissing the soldier, you know, and everybody's cherishing and then we're spitting at these guys when they're coming home. What the heck happened? You know, that's my fear as we go back that way and we forever, you know, are going to have scar tissue that we're going to live with as an American population, what we did to this generation of Dominic and Gary.
And this parade is potentially an antidote to that?
Well, I think just showing that esprit de corps and that fervor that these are people that are willing to give all. And I always say the guys and gals in uniforms, and some had a choice, some didn't have a choice. But the ones that never had a choice was the kids. You know, that are their dad or mom are overseas, or their dad or mom are deployed all the time, and you know, I just want to show them some respect too. I want them to see that, man. You know, I have vision again, that ticker tape. We're out there, we're celebrating what this cause is, and the cause is these are freedom providers. And I like the statements earlier, you know, it'd be nice to keep politics out of the military, and then we're talking to two Vietnam-era guys that could tell you just the opposite. You know, it's always going to be there. We got that. That's not what this is all about, I don't think. And if Trump tries that or Trump does it, you can already hear the inks. You know, and some of these people aren't, you know, totally against Trump. You heard some conservative people say, don't use us. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I think message received, if he's got any intelligence and we will show respect and honor. That's what I pray for. Let's show these kids what mom and dad are doing for us.
Listeners, I'm going to try to get through phone calls as many as I can. I want you to be as quick as you can. If you can do this in 20 or 30 seconds a pop, I just want to get a lot of perspective in because every line's full. Roy in Rochester, keep it tight. Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, I just quote Ambrose Bierce from the Devil's Dictionary. Patriotism, a pile of combustible rubbish waiting for anyone waiting to illuminate its name. To Dr. Johnson, an enlightened and inferior lexicographer who stated it was the last refuge of a scoundrel, I would beg to submit it as the first.
All right, Roy is not a fan of patriotism. Gary Bikerk, a Medal of Honor recipient, what would you say to someone like Roy? And get right on the mic for me if you could, Gary.
A quote that comes to my mind is something that we became very familiar in Vietnam, and that was, to really live, you must almost die. To those that fight for it, life has a meaning the protected will never know. And I think that for those who fight, patriotism, regardless of definitions in the lexicon or any dictionary from anybody that's gone on before us and tried to put into words what lives in the hearts and the minds of those who fight, patriotism has a special meaning for those who fought and those who have died or those who have watched others die. And that those battles that are fought in your own heart and mind. And you have to fight that battle, whether you decide to join the service and risk your life or you decide to say, as a conscientious objector, I'm going to stand against this. Those are battles that are fought. And when you fight those battles, patriotism then takes on a special meaning to you that can never be conveyed in the dictionary or in mere words. It's something that's felt in your own heart and your mind.
Rich in Rochester. Next, go ahead, Rich.
Well, the thing that I don't like is that I feel that there's a level of bullying going on with this in the sense that using respect to troops to support the troops have been used in ways to make people, force people to have opinions. And also the word patriotism, that wasn't my first thing, but this word patriotism does not mean military. It means being a U.S. citizen. And somehow it's been misconstrued that if you're more patriotic because you joined the military, you're more patriotic because you've done this. But each and every U.S. citizen who loves this country is a patriot. And I have a problem with that. And this country is not built on the military. This country is built on the structure, the Constitution, and things like that. Yes, the military defends it, but there's a reason we have civil rule in this country.
All right, Rich, thank you for the phone call. Sheriff, any pushback on a comment like that?
No, I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think patriotism is the folks that want to dissent. I think patriotism is the people that want to go down to the local recruiter station and join up. I think patriotism is this discussion we're having for the last hour on something so simple as a parade that we can bring it to this level. You know, this is patriotism, and there should be discourse, like Matt said earlier, and there should be discussions, and there should be counterpoints. That's what makes us a great country, and we shouldn't look at each other. And I don't look at Dominic like, oh man, he's my enemy. I look at him as he is a patriot, and I'm a patriot, and we're brothers in the same country. And I think this is a beautiful conversation. So whether we have a parade or not, you know, at the end of the day, we're all Americans, and we got the, you know, some people serve different. I think, you know, if you're paying your taxes for the military, you're a patriot. We're not going anywhere without fuel in the vehicles and airplanes in the sky. So it's all one team, and I think we need to respect each other just a bit more than the throw a parade on the table and say, now you're no longer my brother, you're no longer a patriot.
Gary Biker gets the last word because he's a Medal of Honor recipient, and that's the only way to do this. 30 seconds, Gary. What do you want to leave the audience with as we think about not just a parade, but understanding service and sacrifice? Go ahead.
I think I would probably say again my last comments about that, you know, to really live, you must almost die. To those that fight for it, life has a meaning the protected will never know. And as the last caller said, this country was not just founded by those who fought in the military. It's fought by people who fight in the halls of Congress because of their love for this country. And I think that patriotism is something that needs to be defined by each one of us in our own hearts because of the love that we have for this country, because of the values that we cherish. And then the way we live our lives. Look at the lives of those who serve, whether in the military or not in the military. Look at those lives, and you will see the definition of patriotism in the lives of those who serve.
Gary Biker is a Medal of Honor recipient for his actions in the Vietnam War, and it is always an honor and a thrill to see you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Sergeant Barnes from the Fairport Police Department and a veteran of the U.S. Army. Thank you, Sergeant. Good having you here. Dominic Anise, a U.S. Army veteran of the Vietnam War. Thank you, Dominic. Thanks for being here. And Sheriff Todd Baxter, 22 years of service with the U.S. Army. Thank you, Todd. Good
Absolutely.
To see you as always.
Likewise.
And to all the callers and listeners, that's a tremendous amount of feedback. I'm sure we'll have something else to say before November on this. More connections coming up next.